Welcome to The Compassionate Mind, your guide to self-compassion and emotional well-being. I'm Ashley Daniel, your host. Join us each week as we explore practical tools and insights to nurture kindness towards ourselves and others. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Compassionate Mind podcast. As you can see, if you're watching visually, we are actually outside today just to change things up a little bit. Today, we're going to continue the topic about shame. If you haven't caught on yet, this is a series that we're doing, and eventually we will move on to other topics. But the topic of shame is so deep and wide and expansive that there are so many avenues that we can take. But to go a bit deeper with shame, I'd like us to talk about people pleasing. People pleasing is actually one of the ways that we try and solve for shame. Especially as children, we believe that is the antidote for how to resolve those feelings. As children, we experience a lot of shame, especially if our family really encourages that. We talked about that in our last podcast, how certain cultures or certain parenting styles can encourage feelings of shame. So with that, what children end up doing, and often we take that well into adulthood, we learn how to people please. It's the way that we try and survive. So as children, the way that this happens is we begin to start to think, okay, I know that when I make everyone else happy, I no longer feel a sense of dread, disappointment, or rejection. And those are things that we definitely can end up feeling if people use shame to discipline or motivate children to do certain things. You can hear it in the way a lot of parents may say things like, do you see that what you are doing makes me feel sad? Do you see that you are hurting me? So it makes it to the point where the child's behavior, they begin to think that their behavior is directly affecting their parents' emotions. And what we know actually is that each person should be in charge of their own emotions, right? No one can make you feel something. That's completely your stuff. That's completely your issues to work out, right? No one can make you feel. But as children, we're taught, oh, our behavior makes people sad, or our behavior causes people to distance themselves or be angry with us or distance themselves from us. So we learn pretty quickly, okay, if I can just make everyone else happy, then I'm going to avoid these horrible feelings, this feeling of rejection. For anyone interested in learning more about this, it would be really good to look into attachment theory. There's a really great book called Attached by Amir Levine and Rachel Heller. In this book, it talks about how our relationship with our parents impacts us into adulthood and with our romantic partners and friendships as well. But one thing about attachment theory is this understanding that if someone rejects us as children or as babies, it actually is a survival issue, right? If your mom, for instance, no longer starts to care for you, if your mom as a baby completely abandons you, then your life is in danger, truly, as an infant, right? We are completely dependent on our family and our parents to take care of us. So what happens when we experience that break of the attachment, it is a survival instinct that kind of kicks in and says, okay, that rejection makes me feel like I'm dying. And for some people, it really does feel like that. When you experience breakups and the ending of friendships, it really can cause us to spiral and begin to think, I actually feel like my life is over. Right. And so that's why people pleasing tends to be our way to avoid those things. Right. We're trying to avoid feelings of despair and distress. Right. And so it can be really important to recognize that if you are a people pleaser, there is a pretty high likelihood that you're being driven by shame. that shame drives your decisions, shame drives your reason for being. And so it's really important to see that correlation, right? Like if I am a people pleaser, that means everything I do is to avoid that feeling of rejection, to avoid people being disappointed in me. And that's a really difficult place to be in, right? To feel that sense of, oh my gosh, if I do this thing that no one else wants me to do, then I'm going to experience this ultimate rejection, this ultimate disappointment, right? And so it's really important for us to catch that. Okay, I'm a chronic people pleaser, right? Now what? We have to see the history of it, right? Personally, I am. I am definitely a chronic people pleaser. I think it started when I was really young, of course. And I remember talking about this. I want to say it was either with a therapist or maybe one of the different continuing education seminars that I go to. But they've asked, okay, think about in your childhood, what were some memories that you had, right? And at that time, you know, when I look back at my childhood, it's very hard to actually remember how I felt, right? Like I couldn't really recall my own feelings, but I could really, really recall the feelings of my family members. Like I can distinctly remember when my family members were upset, when they were annoyed, when they were irritated. That was very clear to me. I could not really remember my own emotions, which I thought was really odd until I realized, oh, it was because I was constantly monitoring and trying to figure out how is everyone else? What is everyone else doing? How is everyone else feeling? And I will adjust myself and accommodate to them because it was worse for me to actually feel that discomfort. Right? To take in their emotion, to take in their stress, to take in their irritability, their anger, right? And so I learned really early on to pay attention. What is everyone else's emotions? And I'm just going to tiptoe around that and make myself, accommodating. And that lasted for as long as I can remember. And it just is something, even to the point where it took me so long to figure out, like, what do I like to do? What are my favorite things? What are my favorite color? What is, you know, all those kind of questions. I really didn't know. I had to take a lot of time to figure out, what do I like? And the reason for that is because my people pleasing was so strong that I actually just learned what everyone else liked, right? I learned what everyone else's favorite colors were and everyone else's favorite things and, you know, what made everyone else happy. But in reality, I mean, for a long time, I thought, well, I'm just altruistic and I'm just a giver. I'm a giving person. And in reality, I was avoiding a lot of painful feelings and discomfort. And, you know, it really impacted me. So we'll continue this conversation, but I think it's so important to first realize, are you a people pleaser and what are the symptoms? Hey, so for those that can't see me, we've actually changed locations and have a beautiful view of the mountains behind me. We want to continue this conversation about people pleasing. What do you do now that you know that you are a chronic people pleaser? What does that mean? How do you move forward? One of the major things that we need to do if we know that we are people pleasers and are trying to make a change is we need to learn to be uncomfortable, learn to sit in that discomfort, right? Our body is going to tell us, okay, you're in danger, this is not okay, but our mind can help us rationalize and say, okay, even though someone is angry with me, even though they're disappointed, doesn't mean that that is the highest good. And that's something we have to start to develop is what are higher levels of motivation, other reasons why we want to be successful and move forward. It's not that our only goal, because as people pleasers, our only goal often is to make everyone else happy. And what's so difficult about that is people's opinions are constantly changing, right? Even within the same person, what can make someone happy one day might not really, they might even care the next day. And then definitely each person is going to have a different idea of what happiness is, right? It's such an elusive thing, right? To base things on other people's happiness. There's no consistency in that, right? And so that's why as people pleasers, our motivations can flip so easily because it's based on these inconsistent things. So we have to develop, one, the ability to sit in discomfort. It's okay if someone's upset. It's okay if people aren't happy with you. And that is definitely easier said than done, but something to develop over time, right? It is possible. The second thing is to develop some higher levels of motivation. So for instance, as a professor, there's a lot of things I have to do that don't make my students happy, right? If they don't turn in an assignment, I have to give them a zero. If they, come late to class all the time, I have to reprimand them. As a people pleaser, that was incredibly hard for me. I wanted my students to love me. I wanted them to give me the highest ratings, the highest reviews. And in reality, I was doing them a disservice because if I wasn't meeting these principles, if I wasn't actually doing what I needed to do to be the best teacher, then, I wasn't actually helping them. And often the things to be the best teacher were the things that would ultimately make them upset or ultimately, wouldn't make them happy in the moment, but long term would be good things for them. So I had to, over especially the last 3 years of being a professor, and, a little bit longer than that, had to develop what are higher things, right? What are more important things than other people's happiness? To me, it was doing things, for instance, for my students that would actually benefit them, and finding things that are more important, principles to live by, right? As a Christian, what are the things that God wants us to do that often don't make everyone happy, right? There are a lot of things that are higher levels of good. Being able to fight for people, to stand up for what's right. Those are things that aren't going to make everyone happy, right? And so learning to seek after those things, those higher level things that actually are more long lasting, they help us actually feel a sense of a joy, a sense of peace that's not so transitory, right? And so I just think that is a huge piece that's helped me, is to find these deeper things that actually matter more. And sometimes they will make people happy, right? And that's a great byproduct, but it's not the reason why we do the things that we do. So again, we have to learn to be uncomfortable. We have to find higher levels of good. And then the last thing as a people pleaser, it's learning that's not our only role, that we have more things that make us valuable and worthy. And that's something I think that is at the core of why we as people pleasers do what we do. We're trying to feel worthy. We're trying to feel like we belong, that we matter. And we try and do that through other people. But we have to develop and know that worthiness doesn't come from other people's opinions. It doesn't come from what everyone else thinks of us. It is intrinsic. Like, you have a worth that is intrinsically yours. And it doesn't change if someone is unhappy with you or someone's disappointed in you, right? And so that is really a major thing. That's where the compassion piece really comes in to play. We have to be able to develop that sense of I am worthy, I am whole, and it doesn't matter what people think about me, right? So those are a few things. If you're a chronic people pleaser, some things to take away. And just have a great rest of your day, and I'll check in with you next time. Thanks for joining us. If you enjoyed today's content, tune in for our next episode. Don't forget, subscribe and share with your friends and family. Until next time, stay compassionate.